والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We have concluded our Salatul Isha with Jama'ah, and we now commence with our lessons. And these lessons are aspects of the seerah, the life of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are looking particularly at the aspect of him being Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and him being Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader and the chief of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a confirmation from the Ahadith that there were altogether 124,000 messengers, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among them, some were Nabis and some were Rasuls. The difference between the two in meaning is that a Nabi is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a Rasul is one who has come with a book and a Sharia, a revealed book, a divine kitab, and also a Sharia laws which govern the life, and that continues until the next Rasul comes. In between, several Nabis, Ambiyas may appear. So we have looked at various aspects, and we dealt with, in a summary last week, with 113 facts that emerged, all of which we completed. We took almost 3 months to complete. We started in Rabiul Awwal, and we have concluded that particular summary of the 113 facts that emerged from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making him the most prominent messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making him also thereby the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the concluding messenger, the final and last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This week we look at aspects furthermore, and the heading of the summary also of this week is the confirmation, the verification, and the conclusion of the message of the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the appearance, with the coming of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is much broader, and I thought at the end of our lessons we need to look broadly at the aspect of the confirmation and the verification and the conclusion of this final and last deen and religion, faith and belief and practice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has passed on to humanity. All that remains now is the coming of Yawmul Qiyamah, the day of reckoning, the day of judgment. And we need to look at this particular aspect very, very carefully before we continue, before we carry on with any other lesson. So that is why I am saying to you that we are looking at the confirmation, at the verification, and the conclusion from the aspect of the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the ahadith, sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also an overall picture of the history of humankind, of humanity, of mankind as a whole. Why is the deen of Islam? Why is Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why is the Quran? Why is the Sunnah? And why is the Sharia the final and concluding message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is very interesting, both from a historical perspective and from a religious point of view, and particularly from a spiritual point of view. Why is the deen of Islam the final religion and deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And why is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the final messenger, Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we are going to look at this most interesting aspect tonight. There is another very important aspect of the risalat, of the prophethood of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that emerges from the illustrations and comparisons with all the other messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. with the eminence and distinguishing features and lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the fact that all the messages, all the divine books, the revealed books, all the dedicated efforts and the enormous contributions and sacrifices of all the previous messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these were part and parcel of the completion and perfection of the message of the Deen of Islam, of the perfection and completion of the Quran Majid, of the completion and perfection of the Sunnah practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the conclusion of the Sharia laws of the Deen of Islam, and also part of the finality of the messengership of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Khatib al-Nabiyyin and as the Sayyidul Mursaleen. Now let me explain what I've said. That is a mouthful and we need to understand perfectly what I am saying to you. So here goes. This means that all of them, meaning all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole thousands of them, as I say, we have an estimate of 124,000 messengers, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, came to mankind from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger of Allah. All of them, each and every one of them, contributed. Each and every one of them confirmed, and each and every one of them verified the finality of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by being part and parcel of the process of continuity towards the finalization and completion and perfection of the Deen of Islam. None of the prophets can be ruled out of this process of confirmation, of verification and finalization of the religion, of the deen, of the faith of Islam as the final, complete and perfect faith and way of life for entire mankind, for the whole of humanity. Understand clearly what I'm saying now, that from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right through the thousands of messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one contributed towards the completion and perfection, firstly of the coming of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Khatim al-Nabiyyin, and secondly for the completion and finalization and conclusion of the Deen of Islam. The testimony and witness for these magnificent and outstanding contributions of the prophets have been stated in the Quran Majid as follows, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regard to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, summa ja'akum rasulum musaddiqul lima ma'akum, then comes to you, or will come to you, a messenger, a rasul, confirming what is with you. So each of you prophets will do their piece, but eventually summa ja'akum, or bal ja'a bil haqqi, and then eventually will come one who will come, each messenger, then will come to you a messenger, a rasul, confirming what is with you. He will come to confirm that each one of you, O messengers of Allah, each one of you has contributed to the finality of the message and the religion of the faith and the way of life which he preaches, which he propagates and which he brings, confirming what is with you. Musaddiqul lima ma'akum. This is from Surah Al-Imran, third surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 81. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in the Quran Majid, confirming what I've just been saying to you, bal ja'a bil haqqi wa saddaqa al mursaleen, sadaqa Allahu al azim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has verily come with the haq, he has come with the truth, and he confirms the message of all the messengers that have come before him, that have preceded him. وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He confirms that each and every Nabi and Rasul, each and every Prophet, each and every Messenger of Allah that preceded him came with the truth. And he is saying that this ayat, بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, is to be found in Surah Safat, 37th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 37. Both these ayat verses that I've recited to you clearly bear out the fact that the revelations and teachings of all the previous prophets were part of the growing divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the fulfillment, the eventual completion of the perfection and conclusion of the mission and religions, which was blessed to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are talking about the deen of Islam. Thus it is that on the basis of this previously ongoing and continuing program of the continuity of the completion, perfection and conclusion of the mission of the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every prophet worked towards during their period of time. And this is the covenant they all had vowed to uphold in the hidden dimension, when all of them vowed to recognize and to help and to assist him towards success of his mission. And for which reason Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah will bear witness on the day of Qiyamah, to testify that all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had delivered and had completed their mission to their people. It is their recognition and admission of each of the prophets' contribution towards the fulfillment and successful conclusion of their mission and the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is evidenced in the Quran as follows. So what I am saying here to you, understand clearly, is that each and every Nabi and Rasul contributed towards the coming of the final messenger of Allah with the final and perfect and complete religion, deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody made their contribution and worked towards it and led humanity, mankind, towards the deen of Islam all through. So this is a procession towards the completion of the deen and the perfection of the deen, which deen was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who thus became the final messenger of Allah, Khatamun Nabiyyin, and also thereby he brought the final and perfect religion for the whole of mankind to follow. And the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَفِي زُبُرِ الْأَوَّلِينَ. And verily, it is made known in the revealed books of former peoples. This, what I'm telling you, has been made known in the revealed books of all the former peoples, of all the previous prophets. This ayat is in Surah Shu'ara, Surah number 26, ayat number 196. The previous revelations, that is before the Quran, the previous revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had all contained mention of the coming and the emergence of the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who would conclude the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of mankind. This means that the final revelation, that is to say the Al-Quran, the final way, that is to say the Sunnah, and the final law, that is to say the Sharia, would all be completed and concluded by the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every prophet recognized this and informed their people. This was contained in all the previous scriptures, and each and every Nabi that came from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam told their people that a final messenger is coming, and most of them mention him by name, either as Ahmad or as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And descriptions of his coming were also given. This also means, and remember, this is borne out by the fact where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at a certain time, in the hidden world, in the hidden realm, in the sama, that is to say, all the anbiyas were gathered, the souls of all the anbiyas were gathered, and a covenant was taken from them that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is their leader, their amir, is the Sayyid, and that he will come as the final and the last messenger of Allah. And if he comes in their time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a promise from them that they would support him, they would follow him, support him, they would believe in him, and they would render him every kind of assistance. This also means that a rejection of Islam constitutes the rejection. Carefully now, this also means that a rejection of the deen of Islam, of the religion of Islam, constitutes the rejection of every revealed book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of every teaching of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a rejection of every religion revealed to and propagated by the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as a rejection of all the sacred laws and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This makes Islam the only religion for mankind to believe in, to accept, to obey, and to follow until the final day of judgment, until Yawmul Qiyamah. There is no other religion, no other prophet, no other revealed book besides the Quran, no other way of life but the Sunnah, and no other laws and rules except that of the Sharia of Islam. That is what emerges here. In this way, the epitome, the climax, the perfection, the completion, and the conclusion of all the teachings, of all the nasiha advice, of all the recommendations, of all the ways and practices of all the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout time, are inclusive in the deen of Islam, which was brought by Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making the deen of Islam all embracing and all encompassing, such as no teaching, no way of living, no religion of the past has ever had before. The Ummah of Muslimin thus, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus, are in obedience to all the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the past. The Ummah thus are in obedience to all the messengers of the divinely revealed books, laws, and ways to which men have been directed throughout time. And this most remarkable blessing and touching tribute is due to being part of and belonging to the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are very, very important facts that I'm stating here. Thus, in Islam, the Muslim Ummah has accepted, and they belong to all the religions of the past, which religions, I will inform you now, are all components and constituents of the deen of Islam, as it was being formulated, as it was being processed, until it came to its finality, completion and perfection with Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah, this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obey and follow the deen, the religion that was in the making since the dawn of mankind until it attained its climax, completion, perfection and conclusion with the deen of Islam brought by, preached by, propagated by Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus he is also the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the importance of this particular mission, that he is the one who brought this entire process to its conclusion, to its perfection and to its conclusion. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the day of Qiyamah he is the one who will make shafa'at, intercession on behalf of humanity, and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be positioned and placed near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for his ummah to occupy an elevated position which is called the A'raf, from where his ummah can be viewed by entire mankind, all this on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment. On that final day, the whole of mankind will admit to the rank and elevated status of the mu'mineen, muslimin, ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will wish they had not excluded, oppressed, denied and discounted them ever. There is another vital and important factor to keep in mind here, and that is the fact that the Muslimin mu'mineen are the only ummah, the only ones who believe in and accept all the true messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without exclusion of any single Nabi and Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is this Muslim ummah. By the same token, this means that every religion in its original, understand me very, very carefully, by the same token, since we accept every Nabi and Rasul that was a true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a designated messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslimin, the mu'mineen, say that and believe that every religion in its original and true form, as preached by, as propagated by its messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabi and Rasul, Muslims accept and follow by the Muslim ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before its distortion and before its corruption. In other words, each and every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true teaching that they brought, the true belief and teaching practices that they brought to their people, as they received it by divine revelation, wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every Muslim believes in it, that these are true messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who brought that haq and the truth to their people. Every one of us believes in that. We believe in all the messengers, all the anbiya's and rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also believe that they brought the haq and the truth. This actually means that by accepting the true messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ummah, this ummah, accepts the truth of their message to their people. And the Muslims alone, therefore, consequently are the true followers of these prophets. Unlike those who claim to be their followers, the followers of religions that have been perverted. So the Muslim says, we follow the religion of each and every Nabi al-Haq, each and every true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its original true revealed version. That is our iman. Thus the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the true followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, and each and every Nabi of the 124,000 that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated and mentioned. We Muslims follow each and every one of them. But which one? The way it was revealed to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We reject none. We accept them all as the true messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way, therefore, through Islam and the belief in the Risalat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these true and revealed religions continue to exist in their original and pure forms and are not lost and gone forever. What needs to be clearly understood and appreciated is that none of these previous religions, past religions, as it was originally revealed to the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was ever different or contrary to the beliefs and ethics of Islam. Understand that. All taught the worship of La ilaha illallah. Never was that changed. Always it was shirk and kufr is taboo. Shirk and kufr, none shall believe in. Every Nabi and Rasul taught the worship of one creator, one maker, one sustainer, one Allah. All of them. There is only one Allah, one maker, one creator. No other must be worshipped except one Allah. Each and every. And therefore we Muslims, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe in the religions and in the prophethood of each and every Nabi and Rasul, because we say they all taught the haq. All taught the worship of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All taught obedience to the Nabis and Rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the observing of piety and virtue, to the consumption of halal, that which is permissible, to the forbidding of that which is haram, that which is prohibited, and the condemnation of immorality, corruption, sin, evil and transgression. These were the basic principles of each and every religion of the past. And there was the strict warning to all of mankind by each and every Nabi and Rasul, each and every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, warned their people of accountability, of reckoning on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, and that they will be punished in Jahannam, in hell, for sinners, for transgressors, for disbelievers, for wrongdoers, and that there will be rewards and blessings for the pious, for the obedient, and for those who submit to Allah and worship one Allah and follow their Nabi and their Rasul. Each of them had the promise of the abode of paradise of Jannah. In this way, there was a parallelism with Islam, which is an embodiment of all the pure beliefs, teachings and practices of all the combined religions of the past. There is another important matter to reflect on here. Understand something else which is very, very important. That is the reason why I've been saying this surmise, this revision that we are doing is so important. Very, very important facts of belief that emerge here. There is another important matter to reflect on here, and that is that Islam in accepting all the originally revealed religions and prophets as received by the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam and the Muslimin does not condemn their originality and their purity, but it rather points out the perversions that were committed by their successors and their followers of these recognized prophets, mostly by the priesthood, by the ruling and wealthy classes, the kings and the emperors, due to which these religions of the past were abrogated from time to time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the arrival of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen of Islam, when the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind was completed and concluded. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the promise and the assurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that neither the revealed book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, henceforth the revealed book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran al-Kareem, nor the beliefs and the teachings and the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the deen of Islam, would be or could be ever perverted again. It could not be corrupted any longer. The Quran cannot be touched by the hand of man or the hand of jinn or the combined efforts of man and jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian of this Quran, and the word of Allah, revealed word of Allah, cannot in any way be perverted or corrupted at all. Similarly, the deen of Islam, its teachings, its sanctity will be preserved by the power and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the first and last time for such a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will remain in place until the day of Qiyamah. Such is the divine constitution of the deen of Islam. Henceforth, that means to say, from that time onwards, from the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam is the final deen, the final religion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin. But understand also, at that time, for the first time in the history of, in human history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took guardianship, the security, the protection, the safety of the Quran al-Kareem. Nobody can ever corrupt or pervert the Quran al-Kareem or the teachings of the deen of Islam, because the teachings of the deen of Islam, the beliefs of the deen of Islam, are contained in the Quran al-Pak, in the Quran al-Kareem. So in the past, there was much castigation, there was much renouncing and much denouncing of other religions and peoples. But the coming of Islam and its preaching by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought such accusations and condemnations to an end, because there came a religion which accepted and recognized all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which accepted the purity and originality of all the past major religions as they were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that particular Nabi and Rasul, and condemned none of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear to us that in their original versions, they were true religions as they were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that Nabi and to that Rasul. And all the revealed books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were absolutely pure, untainted by human hand. Afterwards, mankind did whatever they did. But in its original version, it was pure, and that is the belief of each and every Muslim. Islam never clashed with any of the religions of the past in the original revealed form, or ever rejected or condemned any of the recognized messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This remarkable and excellent approach went down very well with the followers of all the other religions, for they recognized in this teaching of Islam the excellent dynamics the remarkable merit and the broad scope of this deen of Islam. But of course, the priestly class of those religions was dismayed by the appeal of Islam, by the appeal that Islam raised in the minds of their followers. And they started to create the illusion of Islamic clash with other religions. Islam was alleged to have pagan and ancient beliefs. This is the accusations that they directed towards Islam. Who? The papacy. Who? The religious leaders. Who? The priesthood. The priestly class of each of the other religions began to attack Islam in this particular way. Because Islam began to appeal to the followers of all the religions. You wonder sometimes, how is it possible that so many nations and so many people in the early days embraced Islam from all over? Just imagine, the whole of Asia, large parts of Europe, especially the northern parts, the whole continent of Africa. How is it that these people accepted Islam? Here you will see why, and the reason is given here. But of course, we need to understand the remarkable and excellent approach went down very well with the followers of the other religion, for they recognized in it the excellent dynamics, the merit, and the broad scope of Islam. But of course, the priesthood was dismayed by the appeal of Islam that Islam raised in the minds of their followers. And they then started to create the illusion of Islamic clash, the clash of faiths with their religions. They alleged that Islam has pagan and ancient beliefs, Islam has rituals and customs, Islam is unable to blend its people into the world of today, since it clashed with the spirit and trends of the age in which they were living. There was a remarkable development that took place as a result of this allegation against Islam. Amazing how Allah works. The more they made allegations, false allegations against Islam, the more the thinkers and intellectuals of the modern world were becoming frustrated and sick of the trend towards which their world was moving. The secular materialist trend, I'm talking about our day and age, the secular materialist trend their world was taking, the fact that political, economic and social grip of their lands were in the hands of power hungry, of an elite minority of collusion specialists and commercial empires which directly benefited a handful of people, of the hunger and lust for power and wealth by a handful of the privileged wealthy classes, of the increasing desire of their leaders to wage war against those whom they wish to bring under their control, mainly for purpose of material gain and expansion of power. The increasing rates of crime and corruption within the borders of their own countries, the rising immorality and corruptions within the borders of their own countries, the rising immorality and free living lifestyle of their people, particularly in this century, the ineptitude of their religious leaders to stem the tide of immorality and corruption within their religious societies, the abandoning of their lifestyle, the adoption of gay life, of non-sanctity of marriage, the permitting through religious laws and rules, permitting of abortions, the permitting of free living out of the bonds of marriage, of gay priests involved in shameful acts of lust and desire with others of the same or the opposite sex, of the young living in a free and liberated lifestyle, of uncontrolled drinking, driving and drug taking, of bribery and corruption within government ranks, of huge repeated interest hikes in the economy, of rising costs of living, of a few people, a handful of people growing rich on the backs of millions of suffering people of their own population, of huge conglomerates owning most enterprises and buildings in their lands, and of the suffocation of free enterprise. They were being dampened by a frenzy-clad media dragon and film world that was seeking to control the thoughts and minds of millions of their own people in a way which spelt future doom and destruction for its people. If they said anything, if these people, any citizen, said anything contrary to the materialist usurpers and power grabbers of their countries, they would be wiped off the surface of the earth and never heard of again. This was the non-Islamic world. This is what they were coming to. Who? The people that were opposing the deen of Islam, and also the beautiful, pure life of Islam. They realize, these non-Islamic peoples realize the trends their secular leaders were taking, and the ineptitude and the silence of their religious leaders and scholars. They were highly disappointed. Who? The people. They were highly disappointed. But very few moved over to Islam immediately. Such is the blindness of the people who have deviated. Nevertheless, many others began to display great interest in the deen, in the religion of Islam. And the shift towards the deen of Islam gradually increased and is increasing even now, until it can be truthfully claimed today that Islam is certainly the fastest growing religion in the world. Not only we are saying so, even by their own admission. The invitation to Islam is such a simple and easy one, with no ceremonial rituals or procedures, no baptismal, that those who have accepted Islam only a day ago, only a few hours ago, become the equal of those who are born and bred Muslims. This amazes newcomers into the deen, and the comfort and peace they find in Islam soon makes them exemplary believers. They have discovered a faith, a religion with a way of life that is simple and easy to believe in and to practice, and the laws to live according to, which are practicable and spiritually endearing and nourishing to them, uplifting. One of them then becomes the cause of bringing their entire families and friends into the deen of Islam. The spread of Islam is the cause of huge headaches to those who have been propagating its antiquity and its pagan ways falsely. But this falsehood has become a major factor in the advancement and spread of Islam in their communities. And I'm not exaggerating by what I'm saying. This is the haqq and this is the truth, and this is what is happening at the moment. That the whole world is focused on Islam, and in spite of all the false propaganda, more and more people are embracing Islam. No matter what the film world is doing, no matter what the media is doing, no matter what the radio is doing, no matter what television is doing, no matter what the magazines and newspapers are doing, more and more people are becoming excited by learning about Islam, knowing Islam. They watch the Muslim people. What happened in Gaza now recently has drawn more thousands of people into the fold of Islam than ever before. They have seen the ghastly injustice meted out in Iraq, in Afghanistan, wherever all these things are being present. Earlier, a couple of years ago, they saw what was happening in Bosnia and Chechnya. And at that time, thousands embraced Islam. Now with what is going on in Iraq, Afghanistan and so on, people are watching. Their people are watching. The injustices, the bombing of innocent people, who could not see that in Gaza? And what has happened? More and more people are seeing this, and Allah is opening their hearts and giving them hidayat, and more of them are embracing Islam. In the past, the religious discord and the disgruntled attacks on the religions of others and the claim of being alone on the right religion and even engaging in war due to such antagonism had become a way of life for many. In other words, in the past, one religion attacked another religion. They used to attack one another. They used to call other religions with bad names. They said, our religion is the only religion to follow and to live at. No other religion is good enough. The fierceness and vehemence displayed by the idol worshippers in Makkah Mukarramah towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the deen of Islam, which he was inviting people towards when he preached the tawheed and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the mushrikeen, their torturing of those who followed and accepted him and their eventually attempt to kill him, are all indications of an era of vehemence, opposition and enmity and violence against those who did not comply with the standards set by society, by religious or social circles in which they live. Under such unbearable conditions, however, what happened? Islam appeared, Islam survived, and Islam spread in a way which has confounded historians to this day. So what I am saying to you is, not only in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even today, all the people that oppose Islam, that oppose the Rasul of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more, and who oppress the Muslimin, what is happening then is what is happening today. People's hearts are opening to the deen of Islam. More and more people are becoming interested in Islam. Why is our world, why is our leaders, why is our religious people, our religious leaders, why are our priests speaking such bad things about Islam and the Muslims? When we can see the injustices that we are wreaking on an innocent people. Let's go back again. The Quran sets out the attitude and approach to religion of the past people as follows. I want to give you an example or two, because this is so important to the point which I'm going to make now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the Quran Majid, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُرَدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارٌ حسدا من عند أنفسهم من بعد ما تبين لهم الحق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, many of the people of the scripture long to make you disbelievers, O Muslims, after your belief in Islam. How? Through enviousness of their own, after the truth of Islam has become clear to them. Look at this ayat of the Quran. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُرَدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. What they want to do is they want to take your deen away. Whichever way they can, they want to take your deen, your religion, your Islam away from you and to make you disbelievers. This is what they want to do. After the truth of Islam, after the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has become clear to them. Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayat number 109. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they, meaning the disbelievers, the kuffar, And they say that, what do they say? None enters paradise unless he is a Jew or a Christian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then, these are their own desires and their personal fancies. This is not what Allah is saying. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Then says Allah, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. And they, who, the disbelieving people, the Yahud and Nasara, the Bani Israel, what are they saying? They are saying, none enters Jannah unless he's a Jew or unless he's a Christian. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. This is what they say with their own tongue. That is what they desire. This is their fancy, that only they are going to enter. Only the Bani Israel is going to enter Jannah. This is what they claim, their mouths claim. It is not so by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, and remember, I am quoting these to you to say, times may have changed, but people have not changed. This is exactly what Allah revealed then is applicable today. The Quran is a book for all time unto the day of Qiyamah. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَى عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Look how the Jews and the Christians were condemning one another, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Jews say the Christians follow nothing true. What do the Jews say? The Jews say the Christians follow nothing that is true, and the Christians say the Jews follow nothing that is true. Counter challenges by the Jews to the Christians and the Christians to the Jews. The Jews say the Christians are not speaking the truth. Christians say the Jews are not speaking the truth. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, is ayat number 113. This was the infighting between various religious groups of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَىٰ أَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَىٰ حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the Jews will not be pleased with you, O Muslimin. They will not be pleased with you, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor will the Christians be pleased with you until you follow their creed. So this was the belief of the Bani Israel. Be a Jew or a Christian if you want to be successful. As a Muslim, no dice, you will never succeed. This ayat is in Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 120. Such was the animosity and the intense dislike and envy at the teaching and the preaching of Islam by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how they attacked Islam, by attacking one another. Jews against Christians, Christians. When it came to the Muslims, then they combined. They, the Bani Israel, meaning the Jews and Christians, could not bear to see another religion arising and claiming adherents and followers, especially not Islam. Both Jews and Christians had been forewarned, and they had been well informed by their prophets, by all their prophets, especially Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, about the emergence of the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In their revealed Torah and the Injil, together with apt descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikram. But these were removed and excluded by the hands of the rabbis and the Christian priests, and excluded by the decision of the envious priesthood and rulers who wanted none to succeed them or their religion. To their dismay, however, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did appear of all people, not amongst the Jews and Christians, because the Jews and Christians did not know where the final messenger would appear. And as they had hoped that the final messenger would appear amongst the Jews, or he would appear amongst the Christians. So the Christians came and settled in Najran in Arabia. They knew it was going to be in the land of Arabia. So the Christians came and they settled in, from the Yemen they came and settled in Najran to the south in Arabia. And the Yahud came and settled in Medina Munawwara. And every time a woman became pregnant, they would go there to their rabbis and to the priests and ask, is there any sign that he is going to be, that she is going to give birth to the final messenger, the greatest messenger of all, the one who is going to be the final messenger? This dismayed them. And the priests and the rabbis would say, no, the signs are not there. They could never believe, they never expected that the final messenger of Allah would come to the Arab peoples. It was incredible. As far as they were concerned, it was impossible. And you know why? I'll tell you now. The Jews and Christians did find that no final messenger came to them as they hoped. But the final messenger came amongst the most unexpected, amongst the most backward, amongst the most illiterate, amongst the most demoralized, and whom they considered to be the most wretched nation of all time. And those were the Arab peoples, the Arab nation. And the Yahud and Nasara were dismayed, thoroughly dismayed. But they thought, through meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by talking to him, that an illiterate Arab, an uneducated person, that is what Rasulullah was, he was an ummi, couldn't even read and write, he was illiterate. So when they spoke to him and they met him and they discussed with him, they found that he's an uneducated person. And he would be no threat to them. And so they ignored him. And they ignored the impetuous Arabs and continued on their way as the chosen people of God, who would never be replaced, not by the Arabs in any case. The plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, superimposes itself on those of men. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began his message very, very simply, very sincerely, very honestly, in a very humble way. And he began to gradually propagate the deen of Islam. And more Arabs were attracted to his calling and to the invitation of Islam as it increased in its tempo. They used to come to the Masjid al-Nabawi and they used to sit there, these spies from the Jewish people. A delegation from Najran of the Christian priests also came to meet him. They came, they discussed with him, took no notice of him. What can this illiterate person, what can he achieve, what success can he achieve? And they went away from there completely satisfied that no religion, not the religion of the Arabs, was going to replace them. Since they were small in number, with tremendous enmity and opposition from their own disbelievers, the Arabs, they did not mind or pay any attention to the slow growth of Islam, slow pace of growth of Islam. They were very happy and full of jubilation when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced to migrate from Makkah to Medina Munawwara. They were clapping their hands and feasting with joy. There it is, his own people have kicked him out, they've removed him, he is never going to succeed. I mean, if you study the history, if you study the life of Rasulullah, the amount of opposition he had, then the Jews and the Christians, they were full of jubilation. They said, how can this man ever succeed? He's an uneducated man, he can't even sign his name, he can't even read or write, so what do we expect? But they never understood the workings, the plan and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forced to perform the hijrah, and when the Yahud and Nasara learned that he was forced out by his own people, they were filled with joy and they became more and more satisfied that Islam, the religion which he preached, would never succeed. The Jews used to attend the Masjid al-Nabawi in Madinah Munawwarah, and they closely monitored the growth and spread of Islam, and they became quite vexed and upset, however, when some of their own people joined the ranks of the Ummah of Muslimin. Yes, some of the Yahud did come and embrace Islam. They came in. One of the most learned rabbis, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the most learned in the Torah. He was the chief of the rabbis. He came into the Masjid al-Nabawi. He recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he embraced Islam. He recited the kalima. And he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not going back to my people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Abdullah, what is it? Why are you not going back to your people? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I assure you, I guarantee you, they are going to kill me. If they learn I've embraced Islam, I assure you, they're going to massacre. They will kill me. They will take my life. So I'm not going to go back. I'm going to stay here with you. He stayed with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He fought in several major battles of jihad, and he died a Muslim. And he was the most learned rabbi of the time. That is why I'm saying, yes, they were Yahud. Several others also embraced Islam. Many Christians also embraced Islam. So that did take place. But whatever, the Jews and the Christians then became worried, because slowly Islam began to spread amongst their own people, and this upset them. As the Ummah expanded and increased, oh yes, gradually, oh yes, slowly, they began to insidiously trap the weaker ones with invitations. You know what they did, the Yahud and Nasara? This is what they did. They began to invite nifaq, hypocrisy. And what they did was, as the Ummah expanded, they began to insidiously trap the weaker Muslims with invitations to hypocrisy and to detest and hate fellow Muslims from within, and so to withdraw from battles and undertakings. They saw to it. They did this. They even offered them money and so on in order to lure them away from joining the Muslimin in battles in jihad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, was not disturbed by their plots, by their schemes, the Jewish schemes and the Christian schemes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, those plottings and the planning at that time and even now goes on and on all the time. It's their way of life. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't bother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam depended on, relied on, and placed all his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus the deen continued to expand and to grow. The strength of character and the absolute faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala was of such a caliber and such a high quality that it amazed and confused the Jewish tribes of the Banu Nazir, the Banu Qaynuqa, and the Banu Qurayza, who had settled in Medina, and the Christians had settled in Najran in the south. These three tribes that settled in Medina, I've already told you the origin. The reason was they were pushed out of Europe and parts of Asia, and they came to Medina Munawwara because they knew that this land of palm trees, of date palms, that is where the final messenger will be born. And they thought this final messenger will be born to one of them, to their womenfolk. And they came there, and of course they were monitoring, and yet they found that what happened? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born amongst the Arabs. The Jewish tribes entered into a plot then to attack the Muslims in Medina in the year 627 of the Christian era. The forces of the Quraysh numbered 10,000 strong, a huge contingent compared with the Muslim force. And so the Muslims constructed a trench around Medina to prevent the enemy forces from easily entering the city. 10,000 of the mushrikeen, kafirin, munafiqeen left Makkah Mukarramah to come and attack the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. And one intention there was, we are now finally going to wipe out the Muslims. Each and every man, woman and child of the Muslims, we are going to completely kill or remove from the surface of the earth. That was the intention. And they set out and they came to Madinah Munawwara. But at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Sahaba ikram and they had a mashura. In that mashura, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, in our country of Persia, what we do is when we are being attacked by a majority of people, by a stronger force, then we dig a trench around the city. So Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us dig a trench around, make it a deep trench and a wide trench, so even with their horses they can't come across. In this way we will protect Medina. And on this side, on the Medina side, we will then fight them and do battle with them, engage them in jihad if some of them cross over. But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to what I am saying. Take my mashura. Let's dig a trench around Medina to protect ourselves against the onslaught of this huge army that has set out from Makkah Mukarramah. And so it was that this mashura was taken, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself bent down and took a spade and began to dig in this trench, and the Sahabas began to dig also. The Jewish tribes entered into a plot to attack the Muslims in Medina, and this was in the year 627. It is now 2009. In 627 this battle took place, and the forces of the Quraysh numbered 10,000 strong, a huge contingent compared with the Muslim force in Medina. And so the Muslims constructed a trench around Medina Munawwara to prevent the enemy forces from easily entering the city. This battle therefore became known as the Battle of Khandaq, or the Battle of the Trench. And the amassed army of the Kuffar and Mushrikeen Munafiqeen, of the invaders from Makkah Mukarramah, were helped by the Jewish settlers in Medina, spying and reporting the movements of the Muslims from within. The enemy tried in vain to breach the trench which the Muslims had dug around Medina, and they retired to their camp after failing to do so. Every time they tried to cross the trench, the Muslim Sahabas were on the other side to threaten them, and so they could not really cross over. So after they became tired, they went back. And what happened is, when they went back to their camp thinking, alright, tomorrow we're going to try and cross the trench again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent a huge fierce storm of rain and wind into the enemy camp, and that rain and wind was of such a kind that it bewildered them and confused them, and they decided to leave and return to Makkah in failure. Such was the nature of the storm that they decided to go back and return to Makkah Mukarramah. The Jewish tribes had settled down in Medina Munawwara very, very well, and they had purchased much land in Khaybar nearby, where they had built fortresses, and they lived there in comfort. Their continuous support of the treachery against the Muslims caused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to send a force of men to attack and seize the stronghold of Khaybar after he returned from Fateh Makkah in the 8th year of the Hijrah, which they did successfully. Thereafter the Jews were banished from Arabia, not only from Makkah and Medina, but from the whole of Arabia. Soon thereafter, The conquest of Makkah took place in the 8th year of the Hijrah, which finally closed the chapter of insurgencies and revolts against the Muslims. And from then onwards, the Muslim forces, though small in numbers, began the dismantling of the two superpowers of their time, until they eventually vanquished both the Roman Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire and claimed much of their lands for Islam, as is recorded in the Quran Majid. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah it is who hath sent his messenger with true guidance and with the religion of truth, that he, Allah, may cause Islam to prevail over all religions, however much the idolaters, the mushrikeen, may be averse thereto. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here very clearly, no matter what they do, no matter how much they dislike you, no matter how much they commit treachery against you, but Allah says the religion of truth, the deen-e-haq, will triumph and it will prevail over all other religions, no matter وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, no matter how much the polytheists may dislike this, but Allah is all-powerful, omnipotent, and Allah will make it happen. And so it happened that two huge superpowers, those poor Arabs, poorly armed Arabs, small in number, were able to dismantle, to conquer two great major superpowers of their day, the Roman Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire. And what a crushing blow that was for those days. Even the books of history written by the Kuffar and Mushrikeen, and I've read many of them, shy away from the truth and the fact. This ayat that I've recited to you is to be found in Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 33. And this is exactly what happened. As the deen of Islam grew and the deen of Islam spread widely and appealed to the people of many lands and nations in the East and the West, here was a spontaneity in their acceptance of Islam that had never existed with any prior religious spread, which can only be attributed to the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the character, sincerity and humility of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala. It is also in keeping with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum fala takhshawhum wakhshawni. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day are those who disbelieve in despair of ever harming your religion of Islam. So fear them not, but fear me. In other words, fear Allah alone. This day have I perfected your religion for you, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you the religion of Islam. Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 3. Fateh Makkah takes place, the conquest of Makkah takes place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives this divine revelation, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That here it is, this is remarkable, that in this way the deen of Islam succeeded over the vast empires of the day, and Islam has never looked back from that time, from Fateh Makkah, never looked back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Muslims this victory, and so it was that it happened. And the Yahud and Nasara, who claim that they are the only ones who will go into paradise, and do so even today, that they are the privileged and the favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It never happened and it will never happen. and this simple Arab nation and the Muslim Ummah that subsequently embraced Islam. You will hear in next week's lesson, inshallah, how and what took place thereafter. We will follow this up, and inshallah you will learn more and more about our deen and the triumph of Islam under huge opposition. And then we will also learn that no matter what amount of oppression and denial the Muslims go through, and the amount of injustice that they go through, all what is happening in the world of the Muslim world today is leading towards something. Also remember that at the end I will give you some of the prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is amazing whatever is happening in the world today, how accurately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied it. And the lesson that follows is also in regard to that. And inshallah, when Ramadan comes along, the lessons we're going to do will also be on the same subject. And inshallah, we will put out a pamphlet soon with regard to our lesson. Shaban is here, Ramadan is coming, Laylatul Barat is also here. And by next week, we will be going to Ramadan. And then we have 2 weeks left, and month of Ramadan, the month of fasting will be here. Inshallah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us.